I want to try to keep this as serious as I possibly can. So if you're tired, you're probably going to go to sleep. But know that when you go to sleep, that you're going to miss what the Spirit's trying to do in you. I told you that God put something on my heart. And He just dropped something. I thought and pondered. And the more I read it, the more I began to start understanding something a little differently than normal. Can I make a confession? And I'm hoping that somebody in here has done it too. John 3:16. We all can quote the scripture. Do not look at your Bible and do not ponder. Who said it? We are a pitiful people. How can we not know who said John 3:16? See how we, and just gather around the fire this morning, and just, well, it's not going to get that hot. It's going to be comfortable. I want to have a family discussion. I want to have a living room by the fireplace discussion. And I'm reading through this account, and I get to that scripture, and I went, you have got to be kidding me. I never knew that that was the words of Jesus. Thought it was the words of John. It was literally the words of Jesus. I had to apologize this morning. I was like, God, I'm sorry. The part that's even sadder is that I've read over that verse many, many times. And because I've heard it quoted so many times, yeah. I've read through it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. But that's nothing to do with their sermon, but it was still something that just... it blew my mind. And I was like, man, I can't believe that something that was quoted so much and something that is memorized so much. So anyway, we're going to visit this account. We're going to talk this morning a little bit about to be born again. And I want to talk to you in a different realm of this being born again, more so than what I think that we've been taught when it come to this account. And so if you'll allow me, I think what we'll do is read the verses first. Let me read through the account and then we'll come back. And I promise we're going to read through the whole account and then we'll come back. I'm not going to stop. Pray for me. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell wherever it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit? Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify that we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can I reread that one? For God so loved this world that he gave me his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in me should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we're at a point and time in our lives and in our walk, God, where I believe that we need you in such a desperate manner that we don't even recognize how desperate it is. And God, we need so much to be led by your Spirit and to be awakened internally in our own spirit. And the only way that we'll ever come to that awakening is by your Spirit. Because with and in of ourselves, we will not recognize anything of the kingdom. So God, this morning I'm asking that your grace be upon me and that your Spirit would help, that you would give me the words that need to be spoken to your people, not just words that I have written, not just thoughts that I have pondered, but what is truly needed for this day and time, for both this church and those churches surrounding in this world. Father, we have come so far, but yet we've gone so little. Wow. God, we've gone so far, but we've come so little. We've come so far, but we've gone so little. We've walked our lives for such a length of time, but yet in reality we've not walked life as it were. So God, I'm asking this morning that your Spirit begin to penetrate and agitate the hearts and the minds of your people. Give ears to the hearers that they receive what it is that you would be speaking this morning. And Father, everything we do, may it exalt your name and may it lift you high and may you be recognized for who you are. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, there was so much about this. And I want to try to stay on the to be born again. And I begin to look at Nicodemus and try to understand Nicodemus. And in the manner in which he would approach Jesus. And the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus in the dark. And I've heard it preached different ways, and I've heard it taught different ways, and there's different theologians out there way smarter than I, and they've explained it differently. But I want to take a moment and just ask a couple of questions about this man Nicodemus. Could Nicodemus maybe possibly be the man that is a representation of those like you and I? Those of you that are like you and I that would we offer up the idea that, yeah, we know who Jesus is, and we kind of see what Jesus has been doing, but we are in a place where we really don't understand exactly who Jesus is or what it is that Jesus does and the purpose of Jesus. Could it have been that Nicodemus was offering up an idea for us all that we could go, hey, he is just like us because we came in the night to inquire of this Jesus? And night being some, in most parts throughout the Bible, night is referred to as ignorance, and daylight and light is referred to as knowledge and understanding. Could it be possible that Nicodemus came with a lack of understanding who this Jesus really was? Now, I know that I've seen you do this, and you've got to be from God. God's got to be on you because nobody else can do these things that you're doing. So I kind of get that idea. I kind of grasp that picture, but I don't really know who you are. Could it possibly be that Nicodemus came in the night, that Nicodemus also came sin-filled, just like you and I? That we would recognize this thing of Jesus and his performance, if you will. The things that Jesus was performing on the streets and raising people and turning water into wine and healing the sick and open blind eyes. And we could see all of this manifesting before us, and it would cause some type of inquiry within us. And we would go, man, what is it about this man? And even in our sinful time, we would have the boldness to go and approach this man, Jesus, even in our sin. Man, Nicodemus could represent a plethora of stages that you and I find ourselves in. And see, some of us, not so bold as Nicodemus, we wouldn't be so quick to go and inquire of Jesus, Rabbi. We would think, we've got, it's just like our little cliques. People are still coming to churches. People are still hanging out in churches. And there's plenty of people filling churches even now while we're having church, while we're having a gathering. And there's many out there that are doing it because they have this idea of who Jesus is, and it's caught their attention, but they're not sure, so they won't make the step that is required of them to gain the full knowledge of Jesus. Are you with me? So they come Sunday after Sunday or Wednesday after. They have Bible studies on Saturdays and prayer meetings on Tuesdays because they've caught some of this thing about what Jesus is doing in some lives here or there, but not so much in theirs. And they are holding back and not wanting to approach the rabbi, the teacher, for some of us, Lord. Maybe some of us feel that, oh, in our sinful state, that we don't have that open door. Maybe the enemy is playing on our mind because of our lack of understanding, that we do not want to inquire to gain knowledge of. I mean, what would people think after all? What would they think if I was to say, I've been a Christian for 20 years now. I've been saved my dear all my life. What would they say if I came and said, I know you've done this. But we're reluctant. Maybe we want the understanding of how he's performing the kingdom in front of people, but we're not wanting or desiring the lordship that is required in our lives that we may come to understand. Now, this is just talking about Nicodemus, and who I think possibly he could represent, or what he could represent in this text. I mean, we could go further. We could dig even deeper. I mean, because after all, he did have to come in humility. Oh, you must have missed that part. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He taught Scripture. Did y'all miss that? He was of a platform that carried with it authority and respect and honor. And with all that it brought, he had to find a way within himself to lay it down and be so bold that he would call a man that had brought so much confusion and, yes, division. I know y'all think Jesus came to bring unity. That's not what Jesus said.
That's right.
Jesus said, I come to divide. I come to cut. Boy, and y'all wish that you were in Jesus' times. Oh, I wonder what it would have been like. There's part of it. That's part of what it would have been like. And he would have called you out in front of crowds and said, get behind me, Satan. He would have called you stiff-necked, brood vipers, whitewashed tombs. I know Jesus was so loving and caring, and he was. So much so that he would rightfully call your sin out to provoke your spirit man to turn from its wicked ways and to, well. He comes with all of what this platform brought him, and he laid it at the feet of a man that he did not fully understand. Boy, that's a principle for some of you. Ought to write that note down, because there's sometimes, even in your highness, that you can gain knowledge and understanding if you're willfully and humbly enough to go and present what you do have in humility at the feet of the one in which you inquire further information from. Are we still on the same thing? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And it seems as though he comes and he drops. He's coming with a mindset of, I think I might want to know more of. I'm hoping that in my humility and my offering that he will be gracious enough. And he calls him Rabbi. It doesn't make sense to us because we wasn't in that time. But that was a high name. That was a high honor. He came and spoke what others would speak to him. And that would position him beneath. So it's one that's coming, could possibly represent one coming in ignorance, one coming in sin, one coming with humility. Could possibly represent a group of people that who were attracted, but yet not bold or tuned into who he is or what he's representing. And he talks to Jesus, and keeping this in context, because he says that, I see what you have done. I see what you are doing. And no one can do that lest God is with him. Jesus did not dodge his question, or better yet, because our lack of understanding, Jesus did not answer his question according to salvation. You have to follow me. John goes and asks, he's inquiring of what he's doing. He is talking of the miracles. He's talking of the acts of the kingdom. Jesus answered him directly concerning the kingdom. It was so quiet just a minute ago, and she had to be set in here with this loudmouth guy, and the speakers are causing her little chest to thump. Jesus looked at him and said, lest a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can we talk about being born for a moment? Let's talk about being born. And see, I have to break some of this down because I want to know some of this in my own understanding with my own thought processes. Because if I can't grasp it up here, man, no matter what God drops on me, I'm going to go. So I first try to understand here, and then I open up doors of revelation for him to drop here so that I can kind of... So to be born, imagine what it is to be born. This, a lot of us think that being born is a, you're born and it's over. I want to present something else. That, how about this for being born? It's a movement from one place to another, to cause to experience a radical change. A change from one state to another with the implication of progressive development. We got to understand that Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He's not talking about your salvation. He's not talking about your gaining entry to heaven. He's talking about gaining entry to the kingdom of God. And he said, unless a man be born of the Spirit, he will not be able to see the kingdom of God. Being born of the Spirit, being born of water. And he goes on, and throughout that scripture, throughout that text, he begins to explain being born of both water and of Spirit, and both pertaining to the same. But for me to be born of the Spirit, I am gaining understanding. I have been enlightened in my ignorance because it's the Holy Spirit that brings truth. He reveals all truth. He gains us access to God. You, as much as you want to think that you can get closer to God by yourself, I want to help you this morning. Without the Holy Spirit, you will not be any closer to God than you were on the first day without Him.
That's right.
It takes Him. He's the revealer of all truth. Who is the truth? I am the way, the truth, and the light. I will help you. There's no way that you're going to gain access into any form of the kingdom without first understanding. Well, first, I guess you need to understand who controls the kingdom. That's why the Holy Spirit introduces you to God. If you don't know Him, you're not going to know the rest. You with me? So Nicodemus is asking all of these works. Jesus is answering all of these works, talking about the kingdom of God, and unless you be born again. To be born, we just talked about being born, being pulled from one place in our life to another. One word or one form of the word in the translation of the Greek was to be moved into a better. So we're born from, well, I guess you would have to say born from worse to better.
Yeah.
So being born of the Spirit is an act of being born of the Spirit, but first must come repentance, because Jesus didn't show up to nullify the laws or the prophets. He came to do it without flaw. He wasn't negating the fact that there were the laws. He came to fulfill them. He came to show them, you already know there ain't but one man. Actually, you thought there wasn't anybody that could ever fulfill the law, but I come to show you different. I come to fulfill every one of them, every jot and every tittle.
Yeah.
Without fail. Without flaw. So I've come to represent the kingdom in which I'm preaching. So here Jesus stands talking about being born again of the Spirit to see the kingdom of heaven. Many of us as Christian people, we've yet to be born of a Spirit. Just hang on a minute. We've yet to be born of a Spirit because we have neglected the repentance. I'm not talking about coming to the altar on a Sunday. I'm talking about the repentance that's called of in the Scripture. It's to turn away. It's to do a 180. It's to stop being, stop living, stop doing the sinful things and the ways that you've always done. If you want to gain access into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven, you must first repent. You have to gain a greater understanding of what it is that God's offering. And you can't do that while you continuously live in the sin that you live in. You've yet to come to an understanding that you are in need of a God, of a Savior. You have yet to realize that because you are still contemplating whether I should or whether I should not turn from my wicked ways. We will still, because it's habitual, we will still gossip. We will still cause division. We will still spread hate. We will still not share love. We'll still not honor. We'll still not care. And yet we call ourselves saved. Okay. To accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior and to build a relationship with Him. And I understand that my entry to everlasting life is by way of the cross. It's by grace through faith alone. So when I say that we will do those things and call ourselves saved, to be at the point of salvation, I guess, I better be careful with that word. Let me back it up. We will do all of those things, not only considering ourselves saved, but considering ourselves a part of the kingdom of God. Let me emphasize it that way. Because I can still be saved, and I can still... Boy, this is going to challenge every theology in the world. How do I say this? You can still be saved and sin. I know everybody got tight right there. Seats disappeared. But you can't be saved continuing in your sin. With me? So in order for us to be introduced into the kingdom of God, we have to understand that repentance is a turning away from, right? And being born of the Spirit. Being born of the Spirit, we are allowing the Spirit to come and to show us different dimensions of God in who He is. And that helps us grow and develop in our Christian walk, in our faith. How do I put this? Being born again, He never said this was an easy process. Let's talk about children being born. The complications, watch this. The complications of the mother. There's a pain. There is a dying to self. Oh, yes, you do. Come on, help me this morning. Because if they don't die to their self, they're trying to retain that which is within them from coming out. And if you don't die to self, you're going to die. Oh, wait a minute. So even if we, as Christians, don't die to ourselves, we're going to die. So we either choose dying to ourselves or dying. It's harder to die to self, but it's easier. It's easier to die, but it's harder. So with the mother giving birth and causing this transformation of being born, she's having to submit. She's having to submit under the direction of someone. Uh-oh, this is going to get... This is free. Not there. So she's having to die to self, freely submit her will under the direction of someone else that's not going through what she's going through at the moment. But in most cases, the one that you're submitting to has already been there, done that. So when we're being born again to the Spirit, are we being submissive? Are we submitting to His ways? Are we submitting to His will? Because you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. How many of you would really like to know what it's like to walk in the kingdom of God? Not to be mistaken for heaven, but being exposed to a realm that causes conflict within the human mind. Because everything in your flesh says, that ain't right. Everything in God's kingdom says, this is right. Right? You want to have a friend, you got to be a friend. You want to receive, you have to give. You want to reap, you have to sow. Jesus is trying to explain this to a teacher. It's just as hard as Him trying to explain it to us because we think we understand it. And Jesus is saying, look, I want you to be a part of this kingdom that you're seeing. I'm letting you see it happen. I know you don't understand it, and I know you don't recognize it. But it's the goodness of God that draws men. Yes. So He's allowing him to see these things take place. It's causing an inquiry in Nicodemus. He was a smart enough man to say, wait a minute, there's something more to this, and I want to go. By the way, he became a disciple. Not one of the 12. He became a disciple. The baby. What does the baby go through? If the baby, the baby is dying to itself as well. There's a transition from what they consider life in the mother's womb. That's what they're used to. They wake, they sleep, they eat, they play, they irritate you, they aggravate you, they cause you pain, all with inside of you. That's their life. And without being presented an opportunity, oh my goodness gracious, without being offered an opportunity to freedom, they remain in the confines of flesh. Come on. Just like you and me. If we are not introduced to the freedom, the Spirit represents freedom. It gains us liberty. And until you have been born again of the Spirit, you remain within the confines. Okay, you remain within the bondage of your flesh. Does that speak better? You remain within the bondage of your flesh when the Spirit is trying to offer you unrestricted access to life as it is to be. This is how we gain access to the kingdom of God. The more that we maintain the grasp on our flesh. We said Sean, I'm not trying to give you a gross picture, but we said Sean had feet on each side going, I'm not coming out. He took a toehold. He, nope. This is good for me. Come on. Okay. Okay, babes in Christ. This is good for me. I don't want to give up this and give up that and submit my flesh to this and submit my will to that. This is good for me. I'm still living after all. I'm saved.
Yeah.
Okay? Man. Would you hate to think that you have worked for the past 25 years and you had $15 million sitting in the bank account from day one? You just didn't know about it. Can I tell you, all your riches in glory have been there from day one. And he's just trying to get you to understand. This baby's got to come through. Oh, it's got to come through pressure. Oh, I'm still in context. Y'all hold on. The baby's got to come through pressure. Oh, my goodness. Head first. Pastor, this is 2024. Do you really expect me to believe that there was a man that died on a cross and raised again? Pastor, this is 2020. You expect me to believe that a virgin woman birthed the only begotten son of some spiritual entity that I've never laid eyes on and never touched? You believe? You've got to be born of the Spirit, and you're going to be pressed through head first. The thoughts that you're carrying are going to have to be squeezed out of you. And the only way that's going to happen is being born of the Spirit, but you're going to have to give way. There's more for you in the kingdom than what you're experiencing because you're tied. They have a name for it. I'm not educated enough to understand or remember what the name of it is, but to be so worldly minded, to be so intelligent. I don't forget what they call it. Y'all don't know either. Y'all would have already said it. Carnal. That's not the word I'm looking for. It's something else that causes people to believe in what they think and not believe in what. Never mind. All right, I ain't got time. So this baby is being squeezed head first, leaving what it's always known to be life. Oh, and experiencing death all at the same time. Can you imagine what's going through the child's mind? See, we don't know that much because you think that you're dying sometime when you're having to be moved from one area of your life into a new area of life that God is. If you're not, you're not pushing hard enough. I'm still right there. Being pressed and having to die to what I thought was life. And being pushed into a world I do not fully understand, nor do I recognize. Can you? Sometimes they think the baby's just crying because it's been born. Sometimes I think the baby's crying because it don't recognize what's around it. I mean, first of all, you took me out of a nice little warm, cozy blanket and put me out on some cold, bright, shiny, cold, ice cold platform. I don't even know what it is. I know it's cold and I want to go back. It's just like us when we're put out there and we start experiencing what this kingdom life is all about, because there's persecution, there's pushback. And oh, we don't like that, so we fall back into our salvation and that's where we hang out until the day of his return or our calling home. I'm not trying to say that you're not saved. I'm talking to you about being born again. I'm talking to you about being put in a place where you can actually identify, recognize, and understand that the kingdom of God is such a broader view than what you and I are experiencing in our lives. Be born again. To be born again, it's going to cause some pain. It's going to cause some pressure. It's going to cause some backlash. There's going to be things that you don't want to submit to. There's things that God just said, man, if you would just put this down, I will expose you to something that would give you a greater strength within you to put the next thing down, to put the other thing away. And it's not so that you can be saved. It's so that you can be born again. So that you can see and enter the kingdom. I want to be in that kingdom, Joe. I'm tired of being confined to the bondage of flesh and religiosity. I want to be exposed to the kingdom of God. I want to be able to be in that arena. Well, Pastor, aren't you being... No, he said, come, follow me. Learn from me. How much of our lives are being held back? Because of the lack of experience in the kingdom. But aren't we born of the Spirit when we're saved? I'm going to say that the Spirit dwells within you. But I'm going to tell you what Scripture says too. Unless you be born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to talk about your salvation, whether you're going to heaven or if you're going to hell. I'm trying to talk to you this morning about entering the kingdom of God and not being restricted and limited to your flesh. Because many of you don't believe it can happen for anybody else, much less yourself. You don't think you can be set free because you can't enter the kingdom of God because you're still restricted to your flesh and you're not willing to release. Yeah. You're not willing to give forth your will. You're making sure that you're pleasing your flesh because after all, you have to wake up to you tomorrow. There's a song, it's going to be a brighter day. It's going to be a brighter day. Only if you surrender. Because tomorrow, if you go to bed tomorrow the same way you did last night, you're going to wake up the day after tomorrow just like you did this morning. Restricted and limited. Being born doesn't, I'm not trying to be graphic, it doesn't come without blood. But he gave that.
Yes, he did.
That baby was probably the happiest little girl in the world when she was rocked by her mama inside the womb. I wonder if that's why most babies are active at nighttime than they are during the daytime,
yeah,
because they may have a sense that mom left them, because mom is sleeping now. Maybe they're fighting for their life and you think they're playing. Maybe they're going, "Mom, where are you at? I can't do this by myself. Oh, I can't do this by myself." Woo. Mom, I need you, because you provide the nourishment. Mom, where are you at? You give me the comfort. Mom, where are you at? You give me the peace. I'm not trying to insinuate God's a woman. Get that out your head for a minute. Would you allow us to parallel one time without you getting stupid? Mom, where are you at? I wonder how we are. When God says, "Okay, have it your way. I'll be over here. I got my eye on you. Tell me how it works out." And next thing you know, you ain't been to church on 6 months of Sundays. And you come run up in the church and you run straight to the altar and you sob for hours. Because you're going, "God, I can't do this without you. God, where have you been? I don't have any more peace. I don't have a way out." And he goes, "Okay. Come here. We were just talking about this. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to talk about where I failed. Because I've left it alone for so long and I got myself in this. Most of you are probably sitting and suffering in areas in your life because you think that you've gotten yourself into this and God's not going to get you out of it. Is his arm not strong enough? Is his love not deep enough?
Yes.
Is his grace not sufficient?"
That's right.
Amen. I don't know what God you serve in right now, but I'm here to help you out.
That's
if
right.
You will repent.
Yes.
This ain't no altar call. I said, if you'll repent, if you'll turn away from the way that you're thinking right now,
right,
and you turn a 180, and you go back to the one that give you life.
Yes.
He's there like this. Scripture said he sees you from afar off.
Yes, he does.
You know, like the prodigal. It wasn't that the prodigal backslid. It wasn't that. See, y'all got all that theology stuff in your crap in your head. Did I say that? Junk in your head. The prodigal lost who he thought he was. He thought he was something different. He thought it could be a different way. He thought it would be better. He thought he could do it. And the Bible said that he came to himself and he came back to the Father's house. I wonder how many of us right now are going through life and we've not been born again. We on the bus. We got our ticket. but we're not born again. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to scratch our head and we're going to stand before the Creator and we're going to go, well, I didn't know that that was part of the plan. Do you think God's plan changed when man sinned in the garden? Do you think that God went, well, that didn't work, plan B? Do you really think that his plan was that heaven would be on earth? And he said, okay, knucklehead, you didn't get it right. Somebody will. Until that happens, here, let me clothe you. I'm going to push you out of the garden. I'm going to push you to the outskirts of the kingdom. Do you want to experience the kingdom of God? Or do you just want to make it to heaven? And I'm asking you a serious question right here. Look at me. This is a serious question. Did you just ask God to be Lord of your life so that you didn't have to go to hell? Because I'm telling you, if that's your reason, you need to check up. Because you're after what he can do for you and not after who he is. He's looking for an intimate relationship that he had with Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. And he's given you, he's given you access to that by killing his only one so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer that. Now I'm going to ask you another serious question. Are you sitting in here this morning? Oh, you're experiencing life, kinda, sorta. It lines up with your thought. It's flesh appealing. Or are you dying in reality? Saved or unsaved, I pray that some of us don't face that death as some do, but I'm still struggling with that scripture, if I can, without judgment. Because all will see death once. I struggle with that one. So does that mean that this life is a consistent life cycle? If one is born, one will die. And they get to choose whether they experience the second. I don't have time for theology breakdown right now. But I'm asking the questions and I'm being totally transparent. There's going to be pastors that may even go, I can't believe that you put, I don't care. Go to heaven thinking that you're the rabbi. I struggle with some scripture, I struggle. Because there's Greek that I do not understand. There's Aramaic. There is Hebrew that I do not understand. Nor can I comprehend because of my... So I struggle. Only thing I don't struggle with is my salvation. I know for a fact if I'm to take out, I'm going home. That's all I know. I'm just trying to help you to experience the kingdom of God in your life and in your home and in your family. In your ways. Because see, you're going to do differently anyway if God really touches your heart. Your desire is going to turn that I don't want to do this anymore. And even when you do, it's not going to taste right. I said a cuss word one time and it was nasty. I'm just saying it was a little one. But it tasted gross. And I went, I can't do that. Satan, get behind me. They never moved, but I struggle. I'm sorry I'm not perfect. I'm sorry, BJ, I don't have it all together. I'm sorry I can't be the perfect role model. I'm sorry. I struggle. But you know why I can say that? Because I know you. You struggle too, so I'm not by myself. That's why I can say it. I know you're not bold enough to do that because you want everybody to think that your feet don't stink. Nicodemus, lest you be born again. You'll not see. Another word in the Greek was inherit. I don't want you to walk limited. You walking in addiction. I don't want you walking in fear. I don't want you walking in sin. I want you to have dominion and authority over the world in which you reside. And that means everything that you come in contact with. Anyone that's in your world, you have dominion over. Yes. That, see, it don't just have to be my family. It can be your family because you're in my world. Yeah. I still reach and touch that family. I still reach and touch friends. I still reach and touch. Come on. Come on, church. what I'm wanting you to reside in and see and experience gives you an opportunity to be a direct representation of heaven, of His will here on earth as it is there. This way, when you see someone that isn't on top, you go and help. I don't know if it was her or somebody else. I said, right now, I don't need your prayer. What I need is money. I don't need your prayer right now, because you can tell me I'm going to pray for when you go home. You ain't going to pray. Right now, what I need is money to pay a bill. I know y'all don't. I know how y'all got it together. Y'all just say, I'll be right back. I'm going to the church and I'm going to pray. Whatever. You're going to church and you're going to worry. Yeah. Yeah. I'm still loving on you. Man, if I thought that we put prayer first in everything in our life, boy, we'd be in a different world. I didn't say going to God with your problems. I said go and pray.
Yeah, right. There's a difference.
I pray that we become one.
Yes.
Help me to surrender my will to your will.
Yes.
We had a conversation over dinner the other night on prayer, so right, I'm praying with them right now. I'm going to say it. Because if I don't pray for you, you ain't praying for yourself. I said pray. I didn't say complain. I didn't say worry. I said pray. God, I pray that you help me surrender my will for yours. God, I pray that I fix something in here so that I can become a better, you fill in the blank. Y'all do know that you're holding up a lot of what you're wanting.
Yes.
Because you want it your way. God, I trust you. I know it doesn't seem, God, it's not fair. I've done X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. It's not fair, but I trust you. I'm coming boldly now to the throne, right? I'm speaking what's on my heart because he already knows anyway. He just needs me to confess it. I'm scared, but God, I trust you. My prayer life ain't like yours, is it? Some of you. Others. Most. It sounds better like, God, I need some help. I know that what you said, and I need some help because I done went and done this wrong and that wrong. And they've been talking about me, and you know that I would never do anything like that. I don't know why they got. And we spend hours trying to fix somebody else. And we spend very little time on us. Listen, okay, listen, I'm sitting with you. Because we afraid that he's going to know. We afraid that he's going to know who we are. Boy, y'all so silly. You know, we walking around bald. Don't nobody know the numbers of hairs on our head. Right? But he do. We just perpetrating. We got a couple. We got three or four that might run wild. He knows. Why am I so scared to present myself as Nicodemus? I say, I don't understand. Well, that ain't what Nicodemus said. See, that's why I get into character with him. He was a rabbi. Yeah, he was worried about what other people would think because he went under night. Y'all people kill me on a Sunday morning. Jeff, he didn't want you think. I don't want you thinking differently of me. So instead of me trying to fix me in front of you, I'm going to do it when you're not looking in hopes that I can get fixed. So when I present that opportunity to you, then I'm already good. He told me one day, he said, you got a crazy friend. I said, good, that makes two of us. We both crazy. We always wanting to present something we're not. God doesn't want that. God wants you in all your craziness. He does. If he didn't, half of you wouldn't be here because the other half of you crazy too. By Facebook, by YouTube, love you. Wish you were here. Wish you could have got out of bed like Lisa did. You know, some things in the kingdom, because I don't want you to get me misunderstood. Yeah, I cut them off because it's for you to know, not them. Some of the things I want you to understand about the kingdom is, it's not that you've got a power stick in your finger and you can go, Shazam. What I'm more interested in is that now I can come to a reality that I have power within me to do what I need to do so that I become better at who I was created. And I just, Lord, help me. I struggle with this. I seen mom's finger. I seen that crooked finger. Maybe that's why it's getting crooked. She's been pointing it at people. See, this ain't recorded. Now I can say what I want to about my mom. I love her. Don't you say nothing about her, but I can. She's been pointing at everybody, and it's been crooked. It's trying to bend back around. I love my mama. Are you... If we would tend to us the way that we would tend to others in our prayers, amen, trying to fix them, what would happen in your life if you got fixed? Amen. Sorry, I ain't supposed to stare at you because it probably make you feel uncomfortable. Stare at a tissue box. What if you fixed you? What if you were different? What if you would act differently or say things differently? I wonder how that would make you feel. There I go again. Pointing at people and talking to them. And they going... First thing in some of y'all's mind, did my wife say something? Did my husband say something? What's he know? That's why I don't talk to you as much, because I don't want to know all your business. So if God does go, maybe you should fix you. Then I don't have to worry about getting in trouble.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Because I can look at you with a clear conscience and go, nope, your husband didn't tell me that you was crazy. God said it. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to look over there either. See how hard it is to be a pastor? Can't look at nobody. If I look at you, I'm gonna get scolded if I go home. I know you. I know you. I don't know why you was looking at me. Everybody now gonna think I'm smoking weed or I'm pole dancing or I'm doing that, that. See, all that stuff's gonna come up. Y'all ain't gotta deal with that. I gotta deal with that. I know how it works, Lisa. Been there. Dog houses, right now, cold outside, not interested. Need a heated blanket. So I just stay in the house. Are y'all with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to break down to you this morning? Because I really want you to understand there is something more inside of you, or there is something more available to you that you can draw inside of you that will produce a fruit in your life. Oh, it doesn't get better there, because then the vine dresser comes by. When you start producing fruits and you get high on your horse, well, I've got patience. And he goes, calip, calip, calip. And he starts pruning you. And you start going, ow, oh, oh, ow. God, why are you doing, oh, oh. So that he can fix you. Tommy changing it up. How about we just go old school this morning? Find I, surrender all. This way we can go home and we at least have one praise and worship song, and we can, I'm trying not to give you any temptations to talk about me. I'm a wall watcher over your soul. Dawn, it's okay to laugh. I know. Dawn said, well, if I laugh, she's going to think I said. Y'all people, man, I'm telling you. Y'all so tight. I can't. Every good, perfect gift is from the Lord. I preached over half a sermon like this because a baby was crying. I took the baby from the mama and I preached up, and I screamed as loud. And I ran up down the aisles just like, never got a peep. Was just as comfortable and relaxed. I just can't help it. Will y'all stand to your feet? Girl, I can't wait to dedicate you. You got something special behind you. You come from a different loincloth. Yes, you did. How many of you would like to experience life knowing that you got the bull by the horns? Yes. Or maybe not have the bull by the horns, but you can at least fight the war?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Okay. She said, I don't like that voice. Yeah. Papa-san, that's different. She says, okay, I'm good. Felt daddy's touch.
Yep, that'll preach.
Daddy's touch. Man, I hope that you can get a hold to this. And I don't know if it's because of frustrations inwardly that's going on with me, and that I see the Christian body just walk so defeated or walk in a posture of defeat when in fact you've got dominion? It just doesn't make sense. If the situation don't change, but I do, that don't make sense. That's the difference between the kingdom and the flesh. That's between being saved and being born again. See, being saved is the easy part. Being a disciple is the hard part. Because you've got to be disciplined. God wants you to have a better attitude. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you to be peaceful. Yes. He wants you to be loving. He wants you to be self-controlled. Are y'all getting it?
Yeah.
That's what and he said that you can, because you can see the kingdom of God if you're willing to repent and be born again. Try to think different in a situation today than you did yesterday and see if it changes. Oh, girl, I'm getting challenged big time in my head. I get challenged all the time. Can you really think like that? Should you think like that? God, help me not to think like that. And the whole time I've got my hands around people's throats. I know y'all don't do stuff like this. Some of y'all done wrote out the boxing match. If they come to me, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to put it this, and I'm going to put it that. Yes, you did. Some of you been in my office with a script. Because you didn't want to fight spiritually, you wanted to fight fleshly. I love you. Come hug me. Just come hug me. See, when we fight spiritually, it's a different fight, because then it becomes a disagreement. We check each other. We love each other. We go on. And I'm going to look at you and go, you know what? You're right. Because I'm going to end the argument. I'm not going to let you sit out and be a part of the congregation with hate and discontent in your heart. I'll just challenge it. I'll deal with it in my sleep. And in my prayer time, and in my fasting, that's when I'll just deal with it. God, I know that they're not right, and you know that they know that they ain't right, but they still do. I'll deal with me. God's bringing you. I promise you, God's bringing you to a place of maturity. Some of you are not ready for it. Others are welcoming to it. Others are still undecided. I'll hit all of you. There's an opportunity for you to grow and mature spiritually, so that when you're faced with altercations or you're faced with an alternative other than what the Bible said, you can deal with it. You can walk through the process. Yes.